This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, we'll get to the serious stuff in a second here, and the Democrats bringing their police reform bill to light today. We'll give you some details, but first from the text line, I'd be remiss if I didn't go through some of these about Elmer Fudd. By the way, we talked about this in depth this morning on Mobile Mornings, Elmer Fudd having his gun taken away, which, by the way, what was, I always thought that Elmer Fudd looked like he was shooting sometimes a double barrel, sometimes a single barrel, but shotgun, nonetheless, maybe a Stevens shotgun, even though I think the New York Times headline is HBO Max takes Elmer Fudd's rifle away. I'm not concrete sure on this, but obviously, if you're slipping along Elmer Fudd style, in the time frame that he would have been doing it, most likely he would have been hunting with a shotgun. But don't worry about that, New York Times. You can get rid of people because they run a Tom Cotton editorial, and guns are guns, right? All right. Brian says no ray gun for Marvin the Martian. That is correct. We talked about that this morning. No phaser for him. No. You're making me very, very angry, or however you do that voice. Chester says, is Foghorn Leghorn still going to be able to beat the dog in the backside with the fence board? I think that's fine, Chester, because in there they said they can use a scythe, like the Grim Reaper. They can use a scythe against each other. They can still dynamite each other. Okay, they're going to do the metric ton of TNT stuff and all that, and drop stuff on people's heads. All those things will still be there. Just no gun. Bark Tech, as Elbert would say, I do not agree with the decision. Yeah, what about that? Is it okay? Should we question, if we're in this woke culture cycle, what about the lampooning of people with speech impediments that Elmer Fudd does? I mean, if we're going to get rid of the gun, if we're taking the politically correct cleansing to Looney Tunes, then why would it be okay to have him talk about a Wascally Wabbit, huh? I mean, why? Just some questions here. We can continue that discussion. All right. On to the next cartoon there, the cartoon that was going on in Washington. Number one, the taking a knee for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. You know, when some people do that on the street of a protest, it's one thing. When House and Senate Democrats get the cameras all ready and call them in there and then go with this and have their face mask on for that look and then take the knee, come on. Come on. I mean, I got to imagine that on both sides of this, Democrats and Republicans out there would look at this. I mean, if you're a Democrat, do you look at this and go, oh, okay, now they care. Now Pelosi and Schumer are invested in this. Come on with the Kabuki Theater. You'll probably see that video tonight if you haven't seen it. You'll sit down, they'll show them. Here they are, kneeling. Look at the solidarity of the members of the Democrat Party. Shut up. And somebody asking a good question, who was there to help the old people back up after they to get off the knee? I don't know. I don't know if they had some of the pages come in there to help them up, to help Schumer get back on his feet or Pelosi on her feet. But they did. They got back on their feet and announced this police reform bill, a little bit from that presser.
It will combat police brutality by requiring body and dashboard cameras, banning chokeholds, no-knock warrants in drug cases, and end racial profiling.
Okay, goes on to say,
remove barriers to prosecuting police misconduct and covering damages by addressing the quality immunity doctrine. It will demilitarize the police by limiting the transfer of military weaponry to state and local police departments.
Okay, all right, let's get started here. Let's get started, because there's a lot to talk about with the immunity thing. Back to the discussion from earlier, if you're trying to have better policing out there, is defunding the police the way to accomplish that? No, it's not. It's not. And the... Was there, I mean, Dalton, can you check? Maybe I didn't look at the story well enough out of Minneapolis and the killing of George Floyd. Were there any military vehicles used in the killing of George Floyd? Just anything? If you double check, because maybe I missed something there, tell me if that was used. I'm just kind of checking, because Nancy Pelosi was talking about that. the immunity thing. There's a lot to. Okay, let's get into some of the things asked for here, and then some of the things that that Nancy Pelosi rolls out that this Justice and Policing Act would bring. All right, that's the name of the bill. What is that? JPA. I wonder if they had they didn't have a cutesy. Usually they make some kind of a cutesy acronym, but it's not. Okay, Justice and Policing Act would ban chokeholds. Also, no-knock warrants in drug cases. Okay, both of those go with the stories we're talking about, right? I mean, this is the chokehold or the move with the knee. Okay, that goes with the George Floyd case. Of course, you look at the no-knock warrant. That's Breonna Taylor. All right, I'm looking for the military vehicle thing. Goes on to say here in a story from NBC News, the legislation, which has more than 200 Democrat co-sponsors in the House and Senate, would require local police departments to send data on the use of force to the federal government and create a grant program that would allow state attorneys general to create an independent process to investigate misconduct or excessive use of force, according to a five-page summary of the bill. Further, the bill would make it easier for people to recover damages when police departments violate their civil rights and for the first time would make lynching a federal hate crime. It is a federal hate crime. The nature of a hate crime is you commit that crime based on somebody's race, gender, sexual orientation, it's just fodder in this thing. I shouldn't be surprised. So you go in. So the making it easier for people to recover damages. This is, we're going to get into this here in a second, because this is, if this is a police reform bill trying to make it better, there are so many things in here that are going to make it worse. Pelosi said, further in the story here, it said Pelosi said in the coming weeks the House will hold hearings, a markup, and a vote on the legislation. Democrat leaders expressed confidence that it would pass the House. Of course it will. And Pelosi said she hopes Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would swiftly take it up. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said in the news conference that Senate Democrats are going to fight like hell to make sure the legislation is a reality, adding the poison of racism has permeated American society beyond just the criminal justice system. But this is about the criminal justice system. Okay. The measure... some activists have been calling for defunding in police departments. The bill doesn't shrink police budgets. The legislation would also not provide new funding for police departments to implement proposed reforms. All right, so let's talk about that. So this is not the defund, even though they're trying to wrap it up in a defunding thing, it's not. But it will in a way. I'm going to get to that in a second. It says the bill doesn't shrink the police budget. Yeah, because they can't. They can withhold grants, but the police budget comes from the states and the municipalities. They do have grant money, and maybe they could withhold that. All right, so they go on here. Under the bill, federal uniformed police officers would be required to wear body cameras, and marked federal police vehicles would be required to have dashboard cameras. That's the federal level. See what I'm saying? You go through the bill, and it's about... What they're gonna say here about federal force? Well, we're talking about local municipalities, sheriff's offices. Making about the other part of this is they're gonna try to do away with the immunity, the civil immunity, for police officers. Okay, now think about what we have coming. Think about the cocktail we have coming right now. If we're trying to make police forces better. Sheriff's departments better. So you've already disincentivized with the rhetoric that goes on around law enforcement. You disincentivized people to get into law enforcement. I mean, if you had a choice of two different, you know, you felt a calling to law enforcement, but you could do law enforcement and let's just make it equal. You'll make the same thing doing the law enforcement route or some other job that's not your passion, but you're going to make the same money. Tell you what, you're going to have a lot of people choose the other right now. So now you have a problem with recruiting the best into the system, okay? Now, on top of that, you're going to say, and if this goes through in this reform, you're going to have the chance of people getting, even if the lawsuit doesn't end up finding the officer guilty, they still have to pay for attorneys and all that. There are more disincentives for people to get into the policing than ever before. To say, well, you're not going to actually withhold money from their budgets. No, but you're going to kill them another way. Right? I mean, I guess the Democrats will be, some of the farther left are going to be upset that this doesn't defund police, this bill brought by Democrats. But in a way, it is going to hamstring. It is going to hamstring law enforcement. I mean, if you're trying to recruit to solve this problem, don't you want, number one, to retain the good officers and the wise officers in the system? I would say yes. Number two, wouldn't you want to be able to attract the best candidates into law enforcement? I would say yes, but this bill works against both of those things. Now, this thing will go through the House, it'll get passed out of the House, and it will not pass the Senate. But it's also a leverage point politically to have Republicans not passing this so it can be leveraged against the president going into the general. Is this the only way to make improvements to law enforcement, this bill brought by Democrats? In a situation that is going to make it harder to have people get involved in policing that we want? It's the best they can do. All right, talk about that in just a second with you at 343-0106. And, oh yeah, the NYPD story. A former NYPD commissioner is claiming 600 officers are considering exiting the force amid the protests going on in New York.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number is 343-0106. Yeah, see a text here. Law enforcement. Somebody in law enforcement says 528 days to retirement. Sean, if they pull qualified immunity, there will be a mass exodus from PDs nationwide. I believe you're right. That's why this process that the Democrats are rolling out seems to be contrary to better policing. I mean, if you're someone who believes there needs to be these big improvements, it's like the things they're listing are they work against this. The logic is lost on me in this. From this texter to a friend of mine who is a senior member of law enforcement, I talked today and I asked him the question. I said, you know, if you were going into the force now, right, just like you did all those years ago, if you're going to the force now, would you do it? And he said no. He's a great cop. He said no. You hear that part of it? The people you want with the wisdom, the great law enforcement folks in there, that you're going to have them getting out as soon as possible, or in the other end, you're not bringing in the best of the best. This is qualified immunity. Somebody ask him what that is. Okay, qualified immunity means, like, actually, let me just get the real definition here, because I'll tell you. Basically, it means like in civil action, going after law enforcement. But it says here, all right, qualified immunity is a legal doctrine in the United States, federal law that shields government officials from being held personally liable for discretionary actions performed within their official capacity unless the actions violated clearly established federal law or constitutional rights. Okay? So that's the... I mean, think about this. If somebody went after you, even if you're not guilty, and you go, then you have to lawyer up, spend the money. I mean, This is one of these things that this will tell people to stay away. People that may be the right people to get into law enforcement and say, stay away. Don't do this. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? It is absolutely contrary to what should be talked about right now. All right, on the and the NYPD story, let me find this here. That's another one that is of interest. And this is, you know, the question of will you I asked this question, wasn't it, last week when we were talking to Chief Batiste. I said, he said it wouldn't happen because of the kind of the wiring of people in law enforcement. But I said, what, you know, what if one day law enforcement just says enough of this and doesn't show up? What if they say no? Yeah, you got the people want to defund the police department. What if that happens tomorrow? What if those officers just don't show up? What if they say, yeah, we're not coming? Now, this story is specifically out of New York, and it is a, says that six, according to a former chief there with NYPD, that as many as 600 officers could quit. So, at one time. What does that mean for New York? I don't know the full size. Don't we Google it, I guess? But what's the... how many officers? I mean, I don't know how, when you have 600 leave, what that means for shifts. So the head of NYPD's Sergeants Union, who's this guy here? Let's see. Dermot Shea. He actually has a more Irish name than I do. Police Commissioner Dermot Shea and Chief of the Department Terrence Monahan. That sounds like I'm probably kin to these people, will be out within 2 months as he urged New Yorkers not to apply to become cops because of the anti-law enforcement sentiment sweeping the city and state. Shea and Monahan, it says, in the next 30 to 60 days, you'll see both of them, Shea and Monahan, leave their post. Sergeants Benevolent Association President Ed Mullins predicted on Joe Piscopo's AM 970 radio show today. I'm willing to bet on it, Mullins said. Meanwhile, Mullins, who's with the NYPD for 38 years, advised New Yorkers not to become cops because of anti-police sentiment that has taken over the city and state politics. He went on to say, do not let your children, your husband, your wives take this job in the NYPD or in law enforcement in the state of New York. It is detrimental to their life and well-being. For good people to sacrifice like that is totally wrong, end quote. Mullins said Monahan deserves to go, blaming the chief of the department for failing to properly deploy the police, which he said contributed to the rioting and looting in the city in the early protest following the death of George Floyd at the hands of the police in Minneapolis. Mullins said he was in charge. We never deployed all the resources we had. We could agree with the mayor on this one if he makes Monahan leave. End quote. Mullins said Shea was trying to do what was right by trying to restore order while dealing with de Blasio's directives. At some point, you have to disobey what's wrong. So there you go. So you get that. And then the side story is that maybe as many as 600 officers could leave NYPD. So how many people are we looking at in the New York Police Department?
Well, according to the New York City website, they say there are approximately 36,000 officers.
Okay. So that is
NYPD.
What percentage? There's a math whiz out there.
600 into 36,000 is certainly a percentage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is a percentage. You and I both are good on it. It is a percentage. We don't know what the percentage is. Somebody on the text line will hit us up.
And
in
it's
a second.
Divisible. I know that. 36,000 by 600. So it should be a nice clean number.
This is how guys like Dalton and I fudged our way through math classes.
But yeah, so 36,000 officers, and they said an additional 19,000 civilian employees. And so we'll see if any civilian employees decide to do the same thing as some of the officers, but 36,000 make up the police force for the New York Police Department.
Okay, so it's not going to, it wouldn't, I mean, I'm sure it would be felt, but it's not going to, like, there's not going to be people missing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not going to be streets unpatrolled or
right.
Something like that.
And I saw another report that I think around 300 New York police officers have been injured since these riots began about a week and a half ago. 292 was the number. So nearly half of the number that said they'll walk out. But, 36,000, to answer your question, that's how many officers are in the NYPD.
Thank you very much. That's Dalton. And you'll talk to him when you call 343-0106. Let's go to the phones. And David in Mobile up first.
That's about 1.6 to 1.7% of the total police force in New York.
Okay, so 1.6 to 1.7. All right, now we got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree with the sentiment that we as a society need to look and examine at all of our policies and procedures to ensure that suspects have the best possible chance to survive interactions with police officers. But I don't think we need to do it at the expense of hampering our police officers and their efforts to do their job. For example, I'm going to give this example. Public Safety Director James Barber for the City of Mobile said in a conversation with me when he was police chief, he wanted to look and see why so many young officers were using so many shots to bring down a suspect when they had to were involved in an officer-involved shooting. And he went and studied it, and he realized that it was the caliber of the bullet that was and the weapon that was being used was requiring more shots to neutralize the threat. Mm-hmm. So he went, and now that same caliber is more powerful now, or they redesigned it, and made it more powerful, so they don't have to use as many shots now. And when a suspect is shot once or maybe twice, they have a better chance of surviving that gunshot wound than they do if they're shot 5, 6, 7 times. So it's deliberate stuff like that that you're sitting down and you're doing evidence-based evaluation that can make policing better. And we need to see how we can re-implement some of the community policing ideas and get police officers out of their cruisers doing traffic enforcement, revenue generation, and into these communities so that they can reestablish these relationships with these communities.
Do you think removing qualified immunity is part of that process?
Don't need to, because if they're violating policy or laws right now anyway, the immunity doesn't protect them.
Right, but this is going to be removing that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't need to remove that protection because...
Right, so it's not... So what I'm saying is what's rolled out here in this Democrat bill is not doing what it pretends to do. It's not making policing better.
Exactly, and I don't agree with a lot of what they rolled out, but the sentiment and the conversation is good, and the conversation needs to be had. I'm not saying that what they are proposing is the way about going about doing it.
Here is David, leaves the line open at 343-0106, and I gotta get new glasses here so I can read on that. Okay, a lot of people chiming in about the number of officers in New York. Yeah, it's a question here too that if you're the Democrats, you know this is going to pass out of the House, but it's not going to make it through the Senate, right? You know that. So you do this to have it as a leverage tool going into the general election. What message are you trying to leverage? And then, if Biden is elected, would he move forward with all this? Would the feds do their own version of holding grants back and defunding police departments?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:50 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's talk about it. It's a Monday, fresh week to work with. What do you have coming in the shop this week?
Actually, just got done ordering a 1 ounce silver coin, 35th anniversary of Back to the Future.
Okay. No.
Who knew? I had to go back and think about it and go, you know, it's got to be right. 35th anniversary of that. And there's also a Australian Southern Cross coin. Very, very beautiful design.
Wow. Okay. I'm still stuck on this back 35 years ago.
Hard to believe, isn't it? You know, it
wow,
seems like
I'm getting old.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it was 35 years ago we were watching that.
Yeah, I'm still just trying to pick. So that coin is out. Of course, if people want to come talk precious metals, we talked a bit last week about what was happening with the prices. They changed much over the weekend. What's going on with that?
Gold actually dropped a little bit again, and silver increased a little bit. So I think that ratio we've talked about is starting to recover. Silver prices the premiums are dropping a little, but the spot price is going up. So everything has stayed relatively stable. A lot of people are really starting to jump into it because of the very, very serious concerns about what's happening with our economy.
All right. Well, tell folks how to come check out what's brand new and what y'all do every day at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can always check us out online, mobilebaycoins.com. And if you want to check out some of the new stuff as it comes in or when we're starting to order these things, like and follow us on Instagram or on Facebook.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in for Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, by the way, and a lot of people do this, and I know it's you have, it's good. You have a, it's a good... you're trying to do the right thing here. When you send me a lot of stories and links on the text line, there's just no way while I'm doing a two-hour show to read those. I would rather you find a story and call in and talk with me about it and maybe bring some. But it's, I'll look down. I have one after another after another after another of links. I mean, don't have time to do that. Well, so what we do here is if you find something interesting like that you want to make me aware of, then holler at me. 343-0106. 343-0106. Plus, checking the radar. Not bad right now for Mobile or Baldwin County. Citronelle, y'all are still getting a little bit of the rain. Chatham, you're about to get another dose of it. Jackson, all that. And it's going to continue, Dr. Bill said, in one shape or form or the other. Rain we're going to be getting even into tonight. Maybe into the wee hours will still be courtesy of what now is Tropical Depression Cristobal, right? Cristobal. Go round and round with that. All right. I want to get the coming up here in a few minutes when we come back from the news. We're going to talk about what's going on at the University of Alabama with monuments there and what the move is there to rename things, and also the renaming. You know, as we ended last week talking about the removal of the Admiral Sims statue at the foot of Government Street downtown, and because there was, well, at one point there was a threatened, remember there was a group threatening that they were going to go yesterday to topple it. Of course, the weather was bad. Then they said they would go Saturday, whatever. Well, the city, Thursday night into Friday, took it down, okay? And then it brings up another discussion of, well, okay, if that comes down, that statue's down, the city doesn't put it back up, which they're not saying they're not, but I have a feeling it's not going to go back up, at least in that place. Then, you know, people started saying, okay, what's next? You know, that protest was going to leave from Ryan Park, of course, named for Father Ryan. What about the Father Ryan statue? What about different things of the city, physical things, and renaming? We asked you, by the way, should the city of Mobile have removed the statue of Admiral Sims? 78% of y'all say no in the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question on the front page of our website. Plus, we have another one going on, poll on the same subject on our Facebook page. You can check it out, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. So, but that brings us to the naming of things. And, the, you know, one of the things we talked about in this show, it just came up, is the George Wallace Tunnel. Well, now that's made it into a list of demands from a group here that would like these changes and enumerated changes in Mobile. One of them was renaming the Wallace Tunnel. I've seen a lot of people have texted me with what they would rename the tunnel. Somebody said East Tunnel and West Tunnel. Somebody suggested the Winston Groom Tunnel. I thought that was kind of cool. But if you start playing that game, where does that go? Where is the finish line on that, on the naming? Because we'll get to the story coming up next hour, what proposals are at the University of Alabama. And I think you could probably say the same thing at other schools in the South that have buildings named for people that were fought for the Confederacy or were, you know, Confederate soldiers or something to that effect. And how far do you go with that? Once again, this is not rhetorical. Where do you say, okay, that would be, because can't you, I mean, if you're going to go into this and you're going to go past the Confederacy, what about those founders of the Republic, right? When slavery was legal, right? How far back do you go? You go outside the Confederacy and go back to, the founding of this Republic. And do you rename everything? You take down every statue? I mean, where do you end with that? All right, phone number is 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll go to, let's go to J.D. in Mobile up first. Hey, J.D.
Yeah, I just want to throw it out there. You know, it kind of bothers me a little bit, but I really don't care for Airport Boulevard.
Well, I can second that.
And I'm talking about changing the name, maybe.
Oh, I was just changing the traffic. Okay.
Yeah. And the Old Shell Road, you know. Why can't we change the name on that?
Well, you're going to have to say, though.
You know, when we start all this stuff, you know what I mean? It's all this politically correct stuff. You know, you can offend somebody by looking at them. You know, so, I mean.
But I would argue, though, that, okay, you're going to have to say that, because Airport Boulevard may, you know, how does that offend you? And I know we're playing an exercise here, but how does that offend you? How does Old Shell Road offend you? You do have to come up with some part of it, but you could say there could be something else out there that offends, you know, whatever it is, some street name you know, that offends you, or some, you know, some name of a building that offends you. I don't know.
Well, it just bothers me. Do I have to have a legitimate excuse, or?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it just bothers me.
Well, there you go. So JD on record, he is anti-Airport Boulevard and anti-Old Shell Road. Oh, yeah. So, and somebody had texted in about this. Where is it? It keeps on. Oh, my gosh. It's too much of this. We're trying to keep up with these going on. Be like JD. Help me out here and give me a call. Oh, yeah. Dave from Gulf Shore saying the John A. Campbell Federal Courthouse. John A. Campbell was Confederate Undersecretary of War. Okay. Let's rename everything. Lisa's asking, will all the MLK statues be taken down, and will all the MLK avenues be renamed as well? Well, I wouldn't think so. There's so many of these coming in. So it's where's the finish line on it? I don't know, and I don't know that there's not the right of municipalities, and that's one place where I get contrary with the state. I think a municipality, a group of voters at a county or municipal level, should be able to vote and say, hey, we want that statue, we don't want that statue. But in the case of not going through the system and just saying, hey, we're a group out here that's mad about this, you need to take that down or rename that, not how it works, right? It's going to be interesting to see tomorrow what happens with Mobile City Council. What discussion will come of this? Tomorrow's council meeting should be a doozy. All right, coming right back. Yeah, what they're doing, the SGA at the University of Alabama is calling for renaming of campus buildings with racist namesakes.